Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.
Radiolab is supported by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, exercising, cleaning. What if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Some people like roses and others tulips. I've always liked snakes.
This is Radio Lab. I'm Jad Abumrad.
And I'm Robert Krowich.
And our show today is about deception, and we thought, where better to start than with snakes?
Snakes.
Oh.
This is where you keep all your snakes?
Well, it keeps some of them here. We have a variety of some lizards we're working with.
This is Gordon Burkhardt. He works at the University of Tennessee. I paid him a visit recently.
And I have several rooms here where we keep a variety of different reptiles.
And he's got this one little snake that he likes to show off. Small guy, about the size of a pencil, called a hognose snake.
These are the hognose snakes. So you can see this guy is already starting to go into the display.
Gordon pops the top off the cage and then does something interesting.
What I'll do is take...
He puts a chicken puppet...
Sort of a puppet of a chicken.
...on his left hand.
Right.
And then with this puppet, he begins to kind of attack the snake, or mock attack.
Simulate...
Like peck near it.
...a bird that might be attacking it.
What happens next is kind of shocking.
And you can see now how it's hiding its head a little bit. It's coiling its tail.
First, the snake flips over on its back.
There it goes upside down.
Then... It vomits blood.
Blood will even come out of the mouth.
Then it poos itself.
And now you notice it's starting to defecate a little bit. It's writhing.
And then it gets really, really...
And it'll finally stop.
Still.
In fact, it'll stop breathing. And it's all a bluff, all a show.
Wow. I was like, wait, that is no bluff. Can I touch him?
Sure.
But... As soon as we took a few steps back from the cage, the snake pops its head up, goes whoop, unflattens itself.
Wait a second, it's
and
back
if
to
you
life
come
now.
Close.
And there it was, alive again.
Yeah, and then it'll start to breathe and gaze around.
It was lying, basically.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much.
Although, you know, as the world turns, it was kind of an ordinary lie, really.
What?
It was.
Sure. Well, when was the last time you pooed yourself for a lie?
Well, I could lie to you so beautifully, you would be on your back, tongue out.
No way, because I would catch
and
you.
That, no, you wouldn't catch me.
Yeah, I would.
No, you would not.
I would totally catch you.
I'm so sorry to tell you this. That's not happening.
I would catch you.
No, if it were me, no, you wouldn't. So that's our hour. People who lie.
And the people who catch them.
Not.
To get things started in earnest, let us go to every New Yorker's favorite spot.
I love that we're at the airport.
John F. Kennedy Airport, of course. It's a little place I like to go to get away from it all. I ended up there with our producer, Ellen Horn. We hadn't actually meant to come, but the guy that we had been interviewing...
In order for a lie to be portrayed by demeanor...
This is him.
...there has to be a high emotional... And
right in the middle of the interview, he had gotten a call.
Hello, hello.
Said he had to run.
Oh, that's my ride.
We were like, crap, we have more questions, what are we going to do? So we decided to jump in the car with him, and there we were. In the relaxing presence... of men with big guns.
Well, yes, there's these guys who look like they're in combat uniform for Iraq, and they have automatic weapons.
In any case, this is Paul Ekman.
Ekman, E-K-M-A-N.
He's a security expert. That's what he would be called nowadays. And speaking of security, the reason he's here today at JFK Airport is to talk with JetBlue security, teach them a few things about how they might do their jobs better.
Okay.
We have it.
But...
an old reporter in a building. That's all.
How about over in a restaurant?
Not a JetBlue property.
Security kicks us out.
We are leaving their terminal.
And the only place it seems we're allowed to stand
How about right here?
Is on the concrete right medium between right two here? Lanes of traffic where Ekman finally pulls out the thing he'd been hoping to show the folks at JetBlue.
So here we have your...
My little...
Your very stylish little laptop.
Yeah.
Just starting up.
It's a simple computer program that he promises in about 40 minutes will teach you to peer into a person's soul.
So we're going to start.
Click start. All right.
And click on the start button.
Okay. So I'm stepping forward to the computer here. It's loading images. Please
stepping
wait.
Up to the bat. Waiting for the pitch.
Okay. Oh! I need to see that one again. That was so fast. Whoa!
What is that?
I'll promise I'll tell you, but let me just keep going with this, all right?
Okay.
To explain, Paul Ekman studies faces, the human face. He's probably studied the face more than anyone.
Up until my work that was published in 78, we didn't really know how many expressions a face could make, and there was nothing like a musical notation for the face.
So, about 30 years ago, he began by examining his own face very closely to see how many muscles are in there. There are roughly 50. Then he spent the next couple decades trying to figure out how many ways those muscles can combine to form a facial expression.
And I developed something called the facial action coding system, basically a muscular scoring system that you can apply to photographs, film, or real-life behavior. You just did a 1-2 for me.
You're numbering my facial expression?
The 1-2 is the most common thing in the world. Just raising your eyebrows up is 1-2. 5 is just raising the upper eyelid. 7 is tensing the lower eyelid.
All in all, the human face is capable of 3,000 different expressions. That's what he thinks. And as we sat in his publisher's office in Midtown Manhattan, this is about an hour before the airport incident.
You want an example?
Yeah, he demonstrated a few.
Okay, if you fabricate anger, it's very unlikely you'll put in what we call the anger reliable muscle, which most people can't voluntarily move.
The anger reliable
muscle?
Want
to see what it is?
Yeah, I want to see where it is. You're tensing
I'm tensing the red margin of my lips.
Okay. Ooh, and you look fierce when you do that instantly. So if you want to know someone's mad, look at their lips. Conversely, if you want to know they're happy, like genuinely happy, and they're not just faking it, he says, look at their eyelids.
The skin in between your eyebrows and your upper eyelid, in a genuine, spontaneous enjoyment smile, that skin moves slightly down. Hard to detect, but visible if you know what
to
look
for. You just did it when you said that. Anyways, the reason that we are talking about him here in an hour on lying is because with all the attention that's being paid these days to finding lies by using fancy brain scanners, Ekman is kind of on a crusade to remind us that you don't have to do that. You don't have to look in the brain because the brain is actually directly connected to the face in ways that we can't control.
All of these muscles are activated involuntarily when an emotion occurs without your choice.
Are there things happening on my face, on her face, on any face
that you don't even know
that
about?
We don't even know.
And I'm seeing them. My God, the naked face.
Which brings me to my new favorite word. Leakage.
Leakage?
Leakage. Yes, it is a word you will hear again and again when you talk to anyone in the field of lie catching. Take, for example, Barry McManus.
Barry L. McManus, MCMANUS.
He's a longtime CIA interrogator.
Physiological leakage could be anywhere from sweat gland activity when someone knows that they're misleading you and they break out in a sweat. That's because of the autonomic nervous system that you have no control over.
Basically, telling the truth is easy.
That is the crux of it. According to Steve Silberman, a reporter for Wired magazine.
The truth is kind of sitting there in your brain. Your brain knows it. You say it. No problem. But your brain has to work harder to generate the lie.
There is an effort. And with that, there's always leakage.
Even in an instantaneous moment.
Sometimes you even hear it, where a person's breathing pattern will change, or the sighs that people do. At what particular time did they do it?
Huh.
If you're not trained to look at it, most people ignore it. But
if you've been trained and you know what to look for, according to Barry McManus,
it will strike you right in the face.
Speaking of faces,
you're usually talking about
the particular brand of facial leakage that Paul Ekman specializes in has to do with something that he calls
a microfacial expression, a very fast facial expression, about 25th of a second.
Okay, just as an example, let's imagine, Robert, that you're smiling. Okay?
Yeah.
But on the inside, as those of us who know you can attest, maybe you've got some rage.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. But on the outside, you're smiling. Now, a micro expression is when, for the tiniest moment, a little bit of that inner rage slips out onto your face. And these are just little, like, just fleeting expressions
on your
face.
They're usually pretty extreme, but they're very fast.
It happens constantly, he says, but so fast that most of us don't see it at all.
Most of us don't. And when I say most, I mean about 95% of us miss them. But once you learn it, you don't miss them.
And once you don't miss them, oop, there's one. According to Ekman, you wake up to the startling possibility that
flies are everywhere.
It's enough to make a man obsessed.
When my daughter was born 27 years ago, I decided that I would take on as a life task to see whether I could lead my life without lying.
To see whether you could lead your life without lying?
Yeah.
That sounds impossible.
It's very tough, but I'm always looking to see whether there's a way I can solve the problem. Makes it more interesting. I mean, just telling a lie is really dull.
But you could argue that telling a lie is, it's just what we do.
No, we don't just do that. Most of the time, we lie out of laziness or timidity. I got put in a terrible situation by a friend who had invited me to a dinner party, and the company was dull and the food was worse. I sure didn't want to go again. So he invites me again about 2 months later. And I say, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'm being polite. It's not true. I could have made it. And he said, oh, but we enjoyed having you so much. Tell me a date when you could make it. Now, how am I going to get out of that in a polite way?
How do you stay true to your principles there?
I'm prepared. So I said to him, well, the truth of the matter is that at this point in my life, I'm very busy, and there are friends I've had for decades that I don't get enough time to see, and I really can't pursue new friendships.
But that sort of shows it takes a lot of work not to lie. Yes. And for why? For what purpose?
One, you feel like a Zen hero. Oh, God, did it again. I can stay truthful. I didn't take the easy path.
When Paul Ekman began to walk the path of the honest man, he was faced with a question that has plagued other honest men for centuries, which is, what exactly is a lie? Like, how do you define it exactly? Like, I mean, there are different kinds, clearly, and some are definitely more okay than others. Where do you draw the line? Eventually, he settled on two criteria.
A lie is a deliberate choice.
A deliberate choice.
To mislead a target without any notification. So, according to that definition, an actor is not a liar, although a good actor, I saw a good actor last night in a play, and I was for a time misled. I even had tears because he had misled me. But I was notified.
Right, so now, criteria number two is canceled out.
So it's not a lie, it's deception.
In a similar way, bluffing at poker, it's not lying, because bluffing is in the rules, it's understood, that's part of the game, so therefore you are, quote, notified.
But it depends, maybe the rules of... With my wife, we're entering our 28th year, my wife taught me that what I'm supposed to say when she comes in with a new dress, I'm not supposed to say, gee, that's not a flattering cut. Mm-hmm. Or the color is wrong, or that's for someone 20 years younger, all of which might be true. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to say smashing. So, okay, I've agreed to those rules, and the rules I've agreed to is that I will not tell her the truth. And since we've agreed about that, I'm not lying.
So is this like the poker game where you're allowed to bluff?
I'm required to.
You're giving yourself a loophole, though.
No, because she's notified. She knows she can't count on me.
That sounds like very lawyerly to me.
Just then, his phone rings.
Hello? Hello, hello? Oh, that's my ride.
So,
you want to ride out to JFK with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you know how this goes. We pile in the car, go to the airport. Get kicked out.
No reporter in a building.
So there we were on the medium, center strip at JFK, coldish winter day, and Paul Ekman finally pulled the thing out of his bag, this new technology that he thinks was going to help our chances at catching liars at the airport. Basically, it is a computer game.
It's loading images, please wait.
You're shown a face on a screen. The face is fixed in an expression, like a smile, let's say. And then...
waiting for the pitch.
Okay.
Pow! Another different expression flashes for a moment.
Whoa, that was so fast.
So fast. And then on the screen you're asked, What was that micro expression?
What was it?
Surprise?
You got it right. Look at that.
I was right.
Hey, let's try another. Are you ready?
Okay. I need to see that one again. No, wait. Angry.
All right, let's go and try anger.
Oh, I was right.
You are
two in a row.
Started out pretty strong.
Okay, here we go. Are you going to get three in a row?
But then it was all downhill.
Oh, I didn't even begin to catch that. Contempt?
Wrong. In the end, after several minutes of this, I ended up getting more wrong than right, which put my micro-expression identifying powers at less than chance. I could have flipped a coin, and I would have done better.
But what if you were good at it? What if you were able to identify the particular expressions? What would you know?
Well, I would know. I guess all I'd really know is that they were concealing something, some emotion.
That's it,
yeah. And in fact, on the way over in the car, Ekman said at point blank, if you are looking for some surefire dead giveaway sign of lying, it's just not there.
Because we don't have a Pinocchio's nose.
Oh, look! My nose!
We don't have something that only occurs when people are lying.
Really, so there is not, say, muscle number A19, that if it twitches in a certain way, is a bulletproof hallmark of lying.
Nope, doesn't exist. That's Pinocchio's nose.
Is there something close to it on our faces?
No, there are signs of unusual cognitive load or emotional load, and that can occur for a lot of reasons, and you gotta find out the reason.
So you're never gonna be able to have an idiot behind the machine, in other words?
Nope.
Radiolab will return in a moment.
Message one.
This is Gordon Burkhardt. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, supporting educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives to make our world more livable. On the web at grdodge.org. John D. Catherine E. MacArthur Foundation, exploring how technology is changing kids and learning at digitallearning.macfound.org. And School Foundation, connecting social entrepreneurs around the world with an online community called Social Edge. Learn more at socialedge.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.